Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good whatever time of day it is if you're listening to the recording. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk, and tonight I'm joined by Claire Reid, who is an education officer at the Ecology Centre in Fife. She's going to be talking a wee bit about the work of the Ecology Centre and hopefully the educational work that they do. If you want to get in touch with us during the live show, you can tweet and use the hashtag Edutalk, that's EDUTALK, and hopefully we'll pick it up. David Noble's not with us as usual today, so I'm doing two or three things at once, so I may miss your tweet, but if you tweet at using the hashtag or at myself, John Johnson, we'll try and add your comments in if you've got any questions for Claire or any comments to make. Okay, so good evening, Claire.
Hi there.
Maybe you could start off by telling us your job as education officer at the Ecology Centre, which just sounds like a fascinating job. But how did you get there? How did you become an education centre, and then we could maybe an education officer, and then maybe we could take it on to what the Ecology Centre does?
Sure. Well, it is a great job. I'm very privileged to have that job at the Ecology Centre. I was at university studying English Lit and Theatre Studies, completely unrelated.
Right.
And unfortunately, I had to leave university because I was ill for a period of time. And as I was recovering, I was at home in Kinghorn, and I went to volunteer at the Ecology Centre. The Ecology Centre has a history of volunteering, and it's a really important part of the organisation. And I was lucky enough to get to volunteer on the education programme. So I soon enough found myself taking classes of nursery school children, primary school children, and getting the opportunity to kind of use my enthusiasm that I have for the natural world and for our environment to teach them a little bit about it. And I just got more experience working with young people, and eventually I sought some project funding from the Heritage Lottery Fund, and I ran an arts and environmental programme at the centre, working with children from vulnerable and difficult backgrounds. And then between that time and now, I did various work, some self-employed work, working with a young man with autism, again using ecology as a tool to improve his life and his skills. And I also worked in residential care for a little bit. And then this post became available at the Ecology Centre. So now, lucky enough for me, I get to do it full time.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be tying together an awful lot of things that are interesting in education at the moment. The working with different social groups, disabled and unemployed people, bringing the arts in to science
I think that's a really interesting point. I think the arts and science have a lot to kind of complement each other with, and certainly the project that I run, it was very much about twinning those two things together and taking the young people out, giving them an experience of nature, and I suppose teaching them about scientific concepts, and then letting them kind of express what they thought about and express their understanding through creative projects. And I think the creativity element helps them kind of solidify their knowledge in the science element and brings it to life a lot better for them.
Yeah, I mean, we actually talked to some folk a while ago on Radio Edutalk about this idea of blending science and arts, and personally, I think it's a really lovely idea because half the time there seems to be in policymakers and government this battle between, you know, going back to science, we need more graduates who are scientific and all the rest of it, and the arts being underfunded. And if we can pull it together in this way, it seems an interesting idea.
Absolutely, and I think the creative side has so much to bring to the scientific side because, you know, one of the reasons we need great science graduates is to meet some of the challenges, like, you know, renewable energy and how we're going to move forward in a more sustainable way in terms of how we use natural resources. And to meet those challenges, you need creativity, you need imagination, because we don't have those solutions yet. So you really need to be fusing those two kind of elements together.
And I presume you can the art side can maybe give an emotional response as well, allow people to open up that emotional response to the things they're finding out about, you know, the scientific facts they're finding out, and express themselves.
Yeah, and I think developing that emotional response in people to their natural surroundings is really important when we're getting people to value our natural resources and want to take steps to protect them, allowing them to experience the outdoors and respond to it in a kind of instinctive emotional way, really helps with that process of learning about why we need to protect our natural resources.
Yeah, and you seem to work, you said you mentioned early years, and right yes. through to adults,
yes.
and across various abilities and backgrounds, yes. and all the rest of it. It just seemed to take a really, I presume you could either say rich or, you know, quite difficult, because you've got such a, such a wide range of people to deal with.
I mean, to be honest, that's such an integral part of the Ecology Centre. It was set up very much as a community organisation. Ronnie Mackey and a few others saw this potential for our site on Kinghorn by Kinghorn Loch, and we really just started by, you know, oh, we'll just plant a few trees, we'll just dig a few ponds, you know, maybe an odd education session here and there. And now, you know, we work with 5,500 education visitors a year. And the site itself is maintained by volunteers. And we have such a diverse range of volunteers that are maintaining the site, from people who come with support workers because they're needing that little extra assistant, to, you know, extremely capable natural science graduates who want the experience of conservation work. And I think the strength of what we do at the Ecology Centre is all those people come together from the different backgrounds. And equally in our education, I mean, I personally believe that the natural environment is a tool for improving people's lives. And it's so much more important that people that might not normally get access to those kind of resources,
sure.
People who maybe have disabilities, or for whatever reason in their backgrounds, they might not get that opportunity. It's even more important for them that they have a positive experience in nature and at the Ecology Centre.
So can you maybe just give us a wee bit of background about where the Ecology Centre, it started off by these people, you say, starting to plant some trees and dig some ponds. Was that sort of self-generated? Does it come from an organisation? Or
no, that was really the fabulous impetus of those individuals.
Yeah.
Ronnie, my colleague at the Ecology Centre, he'd gone back to university to study ecology, and, you know, had all that enthusiasm, all that knowledge, and he's great with working with people. And so it really started off completely grassroots. And then as the organisation grew, you know, we were seeking funding because we had the potential there for employing staff. And I think year on year is growing and becoming a stronger organisation, and also an organisation which encompasses more, which does more. We have lots of different programmes. On the education side, we have on-site visits, we have outreach visits. We also provide education for other providers, such as the Woodland Trust. But, you know, alongside all this, we've also got a social enterprise arm called Out of the Wood. And we have an extremely talented woodworker on site who actually makes wooden products, things like outdoor classrooms for schools. So things that are complementing the education work that we do. And they're all from sustainable woodlands. And so that is a way of financing some of the work we do at the Ecology Centre. Alongside that, we also have our Environmenters programme. And that's a programme encouraging older people in the community over 50s to get involved in what's going on at the centre, and specifically to mentor some of the younger people that get involved in the centre and kind of breaching that generation gap as part of the Environmenters project. We've got the tool shed, which renovates tools and sends them to Africa, tools for self-reliance. And we've got lots of mosaic workers who come in and make beautiful garden mosaics. And then again, that's something that we can sell to kind of finance the education side of things at the Ecology Centre. So yeah, now as an organisation, it's quite broad in what we do.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds as if I suppose ecology is the science of the whole thing, you know, so it sounds as if you're covering almost everything. So
exactly, and it is about how everyone can have a positive experience from A, being involved in a community project, and that sense of interaction and belonging, and particularly interaction with people that you might not normally come across, and also that we're on this site and we believe that, you know, we're trying to help the local community and the nature and ecology around us.
So, from a school's point of view, you go out to make school visits, yeah?
Yeah, but that's a new kind of programme that we've been able to develop this year, because we got funding from the People's Postcode Lottery for our programme, which is called Eco Explorers. Our on-site education is really popular and successful, but it's problematic for schools to come out to the site sometimes because of the price of buses,
yeah.
Essentially. And so we wanted to develop an outreach service, so we were, you know, being able to provide a service to those schools for whom the buses were prohibitive. And so we designed an outreach programme that would be very much tailored to the curriculum for excellence, because we were hearing from teachers that that's what they wanted. You know, there's very specific learning outcomes in the curriculum. And really, we took those outcomes and built an education programme around it, using the principles that we have behind all our education, which is that it's active learning, it's game-based learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we focus on... we will send out a kind of project menu to the schools so they can choose whether they want a lesson which encompasses kind of biodiversity, or whether it's a lesson around climate science, and that also brings in things like sustainability and citizenship. And we also teach about renewable energy and renewable technologies, because obviously that's such an important aspect for Scotland's future and for our future in terms of how we're going to get energy. And also it's quite in the technology side of the curriculum, there's quite a lot of interesting learning outcomes in that area, and so that's something that we'd worked on specifically for this project, and we've been lucky enough to have a physicist working with us on the project as well, so we can we bring out models of different types of technology. We have very simple solar panels that we can connect to propellers,
right.
And the children get that immediate visual of, oh, okay, that's what a solar panel does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the renewable technologies, it can be quite a complex subject, but having those models there, the young people involved can see how it works immediately. And that's been a real success of the project so far.
I mean, just all sounds fascinating. How many people, so you're... Is it yourself who does most of the outreach education work in schools, or is there a...
At the moment, it's myself and Stuart Duffin, who's the physicist I mentioned, and we go out to schools, but it's proven popular, so we're going to be training some of our sessional staff in the EcoExplorers programme.
Is this full-time staff or volunteers? Or?
Stuart actually started as a volunteer with us. He'd graduated from Heriot Watt University and was interested in doing community engagement work with renewables, but he also happens to have quite a talent for working with young children, and so he got involved, and now, because the programme's successful, we're able to pay him for some of his time now on the project. But we are actually looking for volunteers at the moment through Project Scotland, which is a volunteering programme for young people. It's something that the Ecology Centre, you know, exists for, really, to give young people experience,
yeah.
Who want to work in these fields, and that's how I started, so, you know, I'm always keen to get volunteers involved.
That sounds great. You said games-based learning.
Yeah.
I mean, being sort of interested in educational technology or ICT, in schools, uh-huh. We hear games-based learning an awful lot, and usually yeah. It involves, say, involving a Wii or, you know,
yeah.
a DS or something like that in education in some way, or maybe embedding it in the project. And I mean, I've seen some projects or things that link this into ecology, because they're using maybe the African adventures and the Wii or the
Bad Leaf.
But what do you mean by games using games based learning?
I mean something quite different, really.
Yeah,
and that is a much more traditional sense of games, which is running about and teaching young people through them engaging in a fun activity. So essentially, we use something that would be motivating for a young pupil, for example, running about or the sense of competition or humour, and we use that to teach a learning outcome. So, you know, the kids are running about or having fun or are engaged doing a challenge activity. And so the learning is almost coming in and they're not really realising they're learning. Essentially, we try not to talk at the children too much about things. And sometimes we have, you know, as part of the Eco Explorers, we have like a silly puppet show to teach about climate change. And I always joke with the children at the start of the session that, you know, climate change is a very serious subject, it's a very scientific subject. Therefore, the only way we can possibly teach it is through a silly puppet show. And it's about, you know, finding ways to engage the children and something a bit different for them. When we visit a school, we want it to be a kind of a different experience and a new experience for them. And, you know, particularly when you're working with younger ones, it might be about sensory games in particular. So you're using that fun aspect to deliver specific educational goals.
So sensory games, could you give me a wee example maybe? Or?
Of course, yeah. One we play on site quite a lot and we also take out to school is a game called Minging or Magic. And it's always good to have a silly name for your game as well. So the kids are paired up and one of them wears a blindfold and the other partner is to lead the blindfolded partner about, and that's exploring the idea of trust and being responsible, looking after your partner. And they take them to the different three different plants in our sensory area, or we'll bring plants with us. And they're to pinch it, the person who can see is to pinch a little bit of the plant and to stick it up to their partner's nose, and the partner has a sniff and they say whether they think it's minging or whether they think it's magic. And then they get to swap around, and there's so many learning points for it. One of the important things is we asked them, so who do you think was right? Do you think the folks that thought they were all minging were right? And they all argue over it, and then we say, well, actually, you're all right, because it's your opinion. You know, you're allowed to have an opinion on how things smell. But then we can also take it down the route of talking about how animals use their sense of smell, and also if living things or growing things is a particular topic for the group of people, we can talk about herbs and how they're used and why plants might have specific smells, etc. So it's a fun game, gets kids using their senses, but there's also lots of learning to be had in it as well.
I'm guessing one of the things is that I've always felt it was important for children to be outside and touch things, because the complexity that they're involved with is so much greater than it is in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think outdoor learning is really important for young people. I think they respond well to it, and particularly the kids who might be finding time in the classroom difficult. We quite often have a group out to the centre, and you know, a teacher will say afterwards, oh, I can't believe this certain pupil was so engaged and was enjoying it so much in the classroom. He or she's a nightmare. But I think as well, with the way that we use education, it's very active and the kids are moving about, and sometimes all that excess energy can be quite a difficult thing to manage in the classroom. But becomes quite a strength when they're doing outdoor learning. And I think as well, things are there in front of them, they're experiencing things. Everything's very tactile, it's sensory, it's not happening in some kind of intellectual space that's different from their physical space. We're learning about things in that environment. And I think, you know, also for young people now, so many of them do end up spending a lot of time in front of screens or a lot of time inside, and they're missing out on that experience in nature. And when they get it, they respond really well to it.
Yeah, I think it's, for teachers, myself when I was a teacher, I always used to love going to outdoors. We used to go do a year, an outdoor centre.
Yeah.
It was really nice because you would see the children in a different light, because they weren't constrained, and because you weren't maybe asking them to do things that they found difficult. And it sort of levelled the playing field in some way.
Absolutely. And I think that particular point you made about you're not asking them to do things that are too difficult is really important. And I'm very conscious of that when I'm doing education work with young people. I'm not going to ask them questions that they're not going to know the answer for, and keep them guessing all the time, because that's just demoralising for them. And I want to get them engaged in activities which they're going to be successful at, so they get that boost of confidence. And when they're in a confident, relaxed place, that's the best place for learning.
And another thing that you do is this, there's a link into the sort of outdoor learning in schools, and I know a lot of schools, certainly where I work now, are developing their grounds in a variety of ways. And you mentioned earlier that the woodworking project provide furniture for this, and you give advice on setting these
things
up.
We do school grounds development service, and I think it's a really helpful service for teachers, because, you know, teachers have so much on their plate. They're, you know, looking after the education of all these young people, and, you know, they want to do develop their school grounds, but, you know, time is short, and we go out to schools and we'll do a school grounds report. So we'll essentially look at the space they've got and the kind of soil they've got and what aims they want for their school grounds, and then we can give them kind of really some concrete suggestions on what would help them improve their school grounds and make it a space for learning, whether that's through encouraging biodiversity so the children can monitor it, or making it a space for active learning and active play through installing, for example, an outdoor classroom. And obviously, because we have this woodworking project on site, we can then provide things like the outdoor classrooms or benches or adventure play equipment, which will go into the school. And because it's made locally and it's there, we know what we're doing with installing things in open areas which could be prone to vandalism. They're very kind of hard-wearing things, and it's specialist equipment that we know is right for in particular schools.
And I presume that the woodworking and things is sort of a ecologically sourced wood.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all from sustainable sources. Often we manage to get wood from our own site, and when we can do that, obviously it's fantastic. But that's, you know, without doubt a very important principle for us, that everything that we do is sustainable. And that's important as well for teachers to know, because, you know, when you're looking at developing your school grounds, it's often for eco-schools aims, and you want it to be a genuine kind of holistic process, so you're then installing something that is environmentally sound rather than something with a lot of plastic from a catalogue, because that's not, you know, that's not what the process is about.
Well, it also allows you, again, everything you seem to talk about obviously gives opportunities for teaching points and for things to come up naturally. Where did this come from? You know, why is that a good idea? Why is that not a good idea? The whole centre sounds great from that point of view, because everything can branch off into somewhere else. You know, we take a good toy or a good piece of furniture, and they can talk about where it's coming from, and, you know,
exactly. There's the whole story behind it, which is educational in itself.
You mentioned eco schools there. Yeah. So, do you do advice for schools doing eco schools, or is it just limited to the grounds? Or
no, in general, we'll provide advice as well. I mean, we're here to help, but I'm certainly, you know, really passionate about the impetus behind eco schools. So we're always wanted to help schools, and often when we go out for an education session, be that through you know, our Eco Explorers program, or just the class coming to us, you know, always have a chat with the teacher and ask, you know, what are you doing with Eco Skills? Are you needing some advice or ideas? Or, and quite often as well, we've had the eco committees from school come out on site, and just so they can see, we've got various displays on site, and you know, a display that explains composting. We had kind of recycled sculptures on site, and it'll give the eco committee a chance to see some things that we've developed and that they might want to think about doing at their school. I think the Eco Schools program is so fantastic, and such a great thing that's going on in Scottish schools. So we're very much tuned into that and wanting to help teachers achieve their aims through Eco Schools.
And another way you help teachers, I believe, is do you provide support and training for teachers as well? You've got courses
we do,
for teachers.
CPD training.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
We do CPD training.
CPD, right, okay.
Yeah, so we've got a programme called Nature's Classroom, and that's an accredited CPD programme. And essentially, it gives teachers the confidence and a bit of experience of outdoor learning. Because again, you know, very aware that teachers, especially, you know, at primary level where they're covering all these subjects.
Yeah.
And outdoor learning is a priority, but, you know, some of the teachers that are coming in might have no kind of experience of that before. And we want to kind of create a course that they can come for two twilight sessions, and then at the end of it, feel confident enough to say, okay, I can take my class out, and I know, you know, two or three games immediately that I can implement with my class, and that I feel I understand how these games work and how outdoor learning works, and really it's about giving teachers that confidence so they can do it themselves.
And do you run these regularly, or...?
We tend to run them, we have dates in the spring.
Right.
But if we've got interest from enough teachers, then we can put them on kind of, you know, any time throughout the year, and we can come out with... previously gone out to schools,
right, yeah,
and taught all the teachers in the school.
Yeah.
And that's a great experience as well, because it means then everyone's had the training within the school and all the teachers can kind of support each other through that process of implementing outdoor learning. And actually, just for spring next year, we're hoping to implement a new CPD programme, which will be about delivering the science curriculum through games and activities, and that will have been a CPD course that has come out of the work we've done with the Eco Explorers project. So that's something new for spring next year.
Sure. And do you mostly work with, is it schools in Fife you mostly work with, or do you go further afield?
Yeah, we do go further afield. Historically it's been mainly schools in Fife, but we also work in Dundee and over in Edinburgh as well, and I was in a school in Falkirk the other day,
right.
So, you know, we'll go, as long as it's within reasonable travelling distance,
mm-hmm.
And certainly we welcome any school if they want to come for a visit on site. You know, that's just a fantastic opportunity for the pupils. So, wherever they come from, it's all good.
That sounds great. And if people are interested in getting in touch with you, I guess the first port of call would maybe be their, be your website.
Yep. We've got a website, www.theecologycentre.org, and there's lots of information on there. We've got a new website which should be online very soon. And also, do you know, they can just phone the centre, and really we're quite a creative service, and you know, I'm always keen to speak to teachers, and if there's something in particular that a teacher is after that's not maybe mentioned on our website, we're always happy to kind of create a specific learning experience when asked. Next week I'm doing some night walks for primary two children
who are
studying light and dark as their topic.
Right.
And that really came out just because the teacher phoned and spoke to me and said, you know, I've got these group of P2s, we're studying light and dark, some of them are scared of the dark,
mm-hmm.
Can you create a inspiring education experience at the Ecology Centre that will kind of give them a positive view of it. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we're always happy to kind of be creative with what we do.
I've been looking at the website, obviously, over the last couple of days to get an idea of different things you do, and it seems a very diverse and connected service at the same time. It looks pretty fascinating, and looks like a lot of useful things for folk interested in both eco type things, bringing science into the classroom, curriculum for excellence in all sorts of ways. And I say a different slant on games-based learning. Which, you know, usually I say, people say games-based learning and they usually say GBL or something like this. They mean something quite different, so that's quite interesting. You're maybe talking about slightly wider games-based learning.
Certainly.
And maybe a game that's right outside. I know we're now running slightly over time. We're talking here over Skype and broadcasting over the internet. You've got a website. I'm kind of very interested personally in the crossover between technology and the natural world, and I wondered if you work at that into any of your activities.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm quite interested in. I don't have the kind of technical experience in at all. I mean, certainly in terms of like our programs with renewable energy, you know, we're often talking about how technology and how science are so important to the natural world. But I think there's the whole other aspect of it, which is how technology, maybe more in terms of ways of recording.
Yeah.
And ways of experiencing nature with technology, and I think that's a really interesting subject here. Maybe you'll have to come volunteer with us.
My dream idea of that sort of thing would be sort of some sort of iPod Touch digital storytelling project, you know, round the centre or
fascinating.
It just would seem a great opportunity because I really like. You know, the opportunities that sort of technology, small handheld technology, can bring to the outdoors. So
And I think something like that, you know, young people are so tuned in to using technology. You know, they all have these devices now. And if you can, you know, harness that as a positive rather than, you know, seeing it as a kind of negative thing, like, oh, you know, kids are, you know, in front of the screen all the time, and why not, you know, take that as a positive thing and a tool that means they can experience and learn about nature outdoors as well.
Yep, completely agree with you there. So
seems like a project in the pipeline.
Yeah, I've just a few light bulbs have gone on here, but I don't know how far away Fife is from North Lanarkshire. You can also find yourselves on Facebook. Yeah,
that's
you've got a Facebook
right,
group, and I'm guessing searching for the Ecology Centre or hitting the link on your website would get you there.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Thanks very much. I can just say, Claire, for talking to me tonight. I certainly had a really interesting time. I think there's so many possibilities in the sort of work you're doing. I think it's really valuable. And the fact that teachers can tap into this centre for expertise and experience is just fantastic. So can I just say thanks again and wish you well with everything else. Okay.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come on and chat to you tonight. Well, so thank you.
That's great. Thank you very much. And I'll say to everybody else, good night. We should be back next week around 8 o'clock. I think there actually even may be something on tomorrow about 4:30 that David's doing. So if you want to check out what's on edutalk.cc, you can see the upcoming shows. And can I just say a big thank you again to Claire Reid, who's an education officer at the Ecology Centre Fife. And the URL is www.theecologycentre.org. Good night.